Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, AfterBuzzers. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Ray Donovan After Show. We hope you're enjoying the Labor Day weekend. We are here breaking down Season 3, Episode 9, The Octopus. My name is Isaac Johnson. You can follow me on Twitter at Isaac Johnson, and I got the best-looking panel at AfterBuzz TV here again. We got Anna Koppel here.
Hey, y'all. You can follow me at Koppel from Air, K-O-P-P-E-L-F-O-R-M-A-Y-O-R.
Sean Overman is back.
Hey, guys. You can follow me at Sean Austin O, S-E-A-N-A-U-S-T-I-N-O, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, and she wouldn't stay away. Roxy Stryer is here again.
Thanks for letting me crash. You guys can find me at Roxy Stryer.
You're welcome anytime. And we have a very special guest in the studio, Christy Williams, who plays Michelle on the show. Joining us.
Hey. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
We're excited to have you.
I'm excited. Can anybody follow you on Twitter anywhere?
Yes, my Twitter is at Christy Will Say. C-H-R-I-S-T-Y-W-I-L-L-S-A-Y.
Awesome.
That's what I say.
There you go, folks. Yeah. Go to YouTube.com, AfterBuzz TV, subscribe to the channel, and like this video. This was one of my favorite episodes by far. So much great emotion in this episode. So many wonderful, happy moments that happened for these characters. And a lot of growth and a lot of things I felt like should have been said to people earlier on. I won't give you any details now, but I loved it. How'd you guys feel?
I watched the, and I tweeted about this too, but I watched the episode again today with you guys, but I watched it last night live, and I literally, not figuratively, literally cried through the entire episode. I just felt like it was so emotional. I felt like there were so many highs and lows. Heartbreaking at the end with Mickey, beautiful for Bungie, and just so many things that happen, and I don't know, maybe I'm just a disaster, but I really cried the entire episode.
No, it was emotional. It's warranted.
Yeah, all right.
I don't think you're a disaster.
Thank you.
You know what? I feel like, if I was there with you, Anna, I probably would have been crying myself too the whole time, because I'm like a group crier. But during the screening today, I feel like I had tears welling up a little bit when Mickey did the right thing. So it was so nice. Like, that scene was amazing.
Was one of my favorites. Roxy,
I just have a hard time because I feel like I'm being repetitive, because every time I come on this panel, I'm like, this is the best episode of the season so far.
It gets better and better.
Every single week. I think that this was the best episode of the season for real, though. Like you said, I did have tears in my eyes, but there were some also really funny moments, some great one-liners from Ray. Mm-hmm. I like that we got to spend time with all different characters. We didn't just focus on one. We were everywhere tonight, so we got to check in with everybody, and I thought they killed it. It was a perfect combination of happy and sad and all those feelings that you want to feel from watching the show.
This episode 3 was my favorite episode of this season. Now this is my favorite episode.
And you know, Roxy, you had made the point when it was Varric's last episode, you were like, I knew Varric was going to die because he was acting his ass off. I felt like this could have been everybody's last episode.
Know, right?
It was just like everybody was just acting their asses off.
Don't
just
say it.
No.
That's what happens, guys. Everybody is going to die.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Good old group death to wrap up the season. How'd you feel about the episode, Christy?
I definitely teared up, too. It was when that moment when Mickey asked if he can help clean up at the reception. Mm-hmm. I thought John Voight was just superb in that moment when he walked away, and you're just like, oh, he's such a scumbag, but I just love
him. I don't understand. I'm feeling for him in that moment too, and then I'm like, remind yourself, Roxy, of everything that he's done.
When he that whole last scene at the wedding, when he first of all doesn't even walk in. He doesn't feel like he's welcome at Bunchy's wedding, which he isn't.
Pretty much not.
And and then he's sitting in the bathroom, and he is saying, he's like, you know, they're going to kill me, and Ray suggests suicide, which is kind of a funny line, but he means it, too. Yeah. And then he says for the first time, he's like, will you help me? I need help. Yeah. I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Groundbreaking.
And Ray doesn't say that he will or won't. He just says, go congratulate your son. And when he goes to congratulate Bunchy, and Bunchy's like, don't ruin my night.
Yeah.
Don't even talk to me. And this is the one son that has been so loyal. I mean, Daryl too, but this is, I don't know, Bunchy has had this childlike belief in his father that he's going to be a good guy and come around. And now he's like, I think he called him Mick in that moment too, did he not?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and it just, it broke my heart.
It's after Bunchy was already standing up for Mickey all episode to Ray. He was like, this isn't Ray, this isn't his fault, this is your fault, this is about you. So when he finally said that, I was like, wow, this was a groundbreaking moment for him. He had some sort of revelation this time to realize that his dad isn't necessarily the best guy, let alone best father.
Definitely not.
Right.
Let's talk about him further. So Detective Sheila has got him back. It seems like he's going to try to work with them to be an informant for, which this was like, as happy as this episode was for me with all the wonderful family moments, they almost seemed like functional for a little bit there. The whole child trafficking ring with the Manassians and the Russians, like, I mean, obviously you knew you were getting into bed with terrible people, but I didn't know they were that kind of bad people.
Yeah, a lot of this made me sick to my stomach, a lot of different parts of the episode, but especially, and not that it would be any better if it was just a man doing it, but anytime I watch a female, woman in a position of power, and she's doing something like this, I mean, not that I think it would be in either of your blood to ever, I know that it would never
it would
be in any man here's blood, but as a woman to give away another woman's body like that, it was one of those, did I just vomit in my mouth moments.
She called them like prime, or these are top shelf girls or something to that, or
it's probably like the location of the world where they came from, and then like how young they are too, because some of the girls look like they were in their like early teens, like 13,
children.
12.
Doesn't the detective say that they're like 12-year-olds or 13-year-olds or something to that effect?
Yeah,
they're supposed to be.
Yeah, just super young, and the prices at the bottom of these ugly Polaroids, I was...
And not that you could ever put a price on a human's life, but the fact that the prices were like $6,000, $7,500, it's sickening.
That's the way human trafficking is. It's just,
100%,
it's so bad. And a lot of it happens here in LA, and then it goes over like to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys about this, because Mick obviously hasn't been involved. He's been involved in a lot of bad things, but he's never been involved in this particular thing. Yeah. And do we think that if it wasn't for the fact that his back's against the wall and he has to do this, do we think that there's any chance on his own will he would have gone into business with them if he knew that this is what they were doing?
I don't think so. I think when he's looking at those, when he finally do get him to go into that room with them, which is dangerous. You can see why he'd be scared of it. When he's thumbing through those photos, the look on his face is like, this is disgusting. This is beneath me, even though I've got like a whole like prostitution and coke ring or whatever. But that's below him. I don't think that he would.
How do you guys feel?
Oh, what do you think, Christy? I mean, you work for the man.
I think that was a really powerful moment and a great acting moment on his part, because I do think that you could see on his face that he didn't know it was this bad, for sure. I mean, I don't know what his choice was, but I would say, like, just from observing it and seeing the scene, it was heartbreaking, because you could see his struggle, and, you know, you could just see in his face he wanted to run. So I don't think he knew, because if he, you know, I mean, he's a complicated guy, Mick, but he's got good intentions, generally, I think, and there's a line somewhere. He's got a granddaughter.
Yes. And he had, when they first started working with them, he said something like, how bad could they be? You know, she sits there drinking her rose water, something like something to that effect. Yeah. So,
yeah, and she looked. This is the creepiest that I think she's looked. I think we compared her to like Cruella de Vil at some point or something like that. But she looked like something out of like some sort of like horror, like freak show sort of thing to me. At least the way she was sitting there,
like Hostel or something like
just
that.
The makeup and the hair and all that stuff. It was just like, could she be any more evil?
I don't think so. And you mentioned the granddaughter, Ben, and that's a really good point. But I also thought the juxtaposition of watching him look at these pictures and him spending time with Ginger and Audrey tonight, and you see she can't be that much younger than these girls, and he's been treating this girl like it is his family and trying to do everything and just. In my mind went exactly to the place like he would never, I don't think he could ever do this. He could do a lot of bad things, but I don't think this.
Yeah, I think it was a real moment of reality for him, because even when the detective is asking him to do this and, you know, it's not a good time for me or something like that that he says, and then when he sees these photos, I think that the reality hit him in that moment that, wow, these people are that kind of bad people.
They're so bad that if they find out that he's a rat, they're going to kill him easily. They would have no problem.
The other thing is that it was shocking to Daryl. Daryl clearly had no idea that Mickey was capable of ratting. And that seemed to break his heart in a way. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know why that why that would be more upsetting to him over everything else that's been going on in their lives, but... Am I alone in this? No, you're not alone at all.
His moral compass is off, but at least on this issue, it seemed to be like, I know this is bad.
We've been talking about this all season, that Mickey, he got Terry arrested last season, right? Mm-hmm. And this season, we've been proposing that one of the other boys is going to get put away. And it's totally Mick's fault, and that's why Bunchy ended up arrested, even if it was temporarily. Mm-hmm. But it still happened. And the next person who it could probably happen to would be Daryl.
Right, because Ray's the only one who really sees how bad Mickey is all of the time. I think he's the one who has the most negative opinion on him, at least. Terry, too, sometimes. Yeah. But I figured it had to be one of the other boys, because their world has to shatter a little bit for them to see exactly how bad their dad is.
Absolutely. I think that's why that moment when he's like, please don't ruin this for me, was so, like...
poignant.
You know? Yeah. It's true. And that's what he does.
He's ruined everything.
Yeah. Well, I see all the boys sort of drawing, like, clear boundaries with him. And I think that was probably the first time that Bunch has done it. Yeah. You're like, look, this is a great moment for me. Don't ruin it, you know?
It's so interesting, because typically I feel like when we watch people drawing these boundaries, it's when they're either teenage boys or way younger, because that's how most families work. As you grow up, you work on this. But these are all grown-ass men, and they're finally figuring out who each other are and what's too far, which is why this show is so different than any other show on television, because they're dynamics.
And the number one reason why everybody has to draw these boundaries later in life, with the exception of Ray, because he knew it from the beginning, was that Mickey was gone for 20 years, practically, right? He was in prison, so his other kids missed him, and they still believed him to be a great father figure.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, let's move on to Don, Ellen, and Bridget.
Do we have to?
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. My prediction is that they were going to hook up, and now they're on, just a date at the bowling alley.
No, they're not on a date. They're drug buddies. What are you talking about? That's so much better than being on a date with your student, is being your student's drug buddy.
And they're both cutting class together.
He's not teaching class. She's not in his class. Who's teaching his class?
He's got a substitute over there while he's doing Oxycontin over at Lucky Strike with his student. Awful.
Yeah, what's his deal? Like, the point that you're making. Okay, he's drawing a line. No, Bridget, this isn't a date. I just want to bowl and do Oxy with you. That's better in what way?
She says it out loud, too, and he hears it and says, yes, that is exactly what it is. It's like I almost wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, like he didn't realize what they were doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
I know. It was really horrifying to watch. You guys kept predicting it all season, and I was like... well, maybe not.
I want to be wrong. I want to be dead wrong. But
you're not. Yeah. You're right. You're always right.
She was. She touched his lap and just was like caressing his leg. And then later on, she tortures him and gets a kiss out of him.
Tortures.
Yes, well,
by holds him hostage.
She
a 16-year-old girl.
That was not a high five.
That was not a high five. She tortured him, and I'm not saying it's good, but she tortured him because she wanted to get a kiss out of him and put the phone down while her mom was on the phone.
I'm going to take you to task on this one, Sean. No, because you can't be peer pressured by a 16-year-old girl.
He's an idiot.
That you're in public with on a date. Clearly, anyone looking at this situation with her, like, you know, grabbing like your crotch or reaching for stuff like that would think it's wrong, but he's fine with being with her in public.
He is on a slippery slope.
Also,
he
he's
just
saying
keeps
like,
going down it.
She's like, well, you don't want anyone to see us together. You want them to get the wrong impression. She has the wrong impression because you're out on a date with her, dude.
Yes. He should have drawn the line at the bathroom way back a few episodes ago.
When they were looking at videos of their exes.
Yeah, exactly.
While she was high. Yeah, that time.
He
should
have totally stopped right there. But no.
I feel like even that was already...
I should have never went in the bathroom in the first place.
Yeah, you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I'm getting some vibes from the couch. What's the opinion over here?
It's awkward, you know? Like, the whole situation. You're like, are they going to go there? But...
They did.
Seems like they're going there. We're not going to spoil anything, guys.
You know, tickle torture. Why don't we torture her? Yes, you know, now that would be more.
We did see some teasers at the end of the episode where Abby throws her bag at the teacher. He's like, she goes like, "You son of a bitch," something like that, right?
All right. Yeah. Can we talk about that for a second, though? Because I feel like Abby has a right to be upset with the teacher, but Abby has no idea what's been going on in Bridget's life at all tonight. Being the first time that
she's questioning anything,
Bridget's just straight up been on drugs.
She got in the car high, and Connor's the one who points it out.
Abby catches her earlier this year drinking in her room, or she says it was a friend, but
totally
there was alcohol in the room. Whatever it is, Abby's like, "Wait a second, is my daughter on drugs?" Hello, her boyfriend got shot in front of her. She's been not going to class. She had a meeting with Ray. He said it didn't go well. Open your eyes, woman. Open your eyes. I know you're so busy taking care of Terry, if that's even what you're doing, but look at your daughter. And by the way, hello, Connor. Thanks for making an appearance again. Where you been?
Yeah, it was nice to see him.
We needed Connor to be there tonight in that scene because
don't get mad at Devin Bagby for not being there.
I just want more of him. I want more.
Yeah, he doesn't write the script.
Connor's there to look at her and he's the only one who could be that close to her and be like, "Are you high?"
He's the only one who knows her well enough.
How old is Connor? What, 14? When your 14-year-old brother who has a relationship with his mattress is the voice of reason, something's wrong.
Absolutely.
Not good.
Abby should have took that as a red flag, like, hey, maybe I should stop the car and actually talk to my daughter instead of just speeding off to the church because we're late.
She doesn't even say anything. Connor calls her out and she's like, "Are you an idiot?" or whatever she says back, and Abby's just like, "Oh, we're running late."
Abby said, "Bridget, stop."
Yeah, what?
Don't call your brother retarded. Can we move on to another,
yes,
not
we can.
More,
yeah, we can.
Not so functional, but better,
we can
more
move on
functional?
To a budding relationship.
Yeah.
On the show. I'm very excited to see some more storyline for Daryl. Seems like he's gotten a little sweet with a certain somebody.
Mm. I'm really excited to see more storyline for Daryl, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pooch is just so great, and it's great to see that he's getting a little more time, and we get to have a little fun time together. So, what'd you guys think?
So, what I thought... So, first of all, I think it's very interesting. I think it's unusual that a man would be very comfortable dating a woman who is a prostitute, but he seems very... And he seems, first of all, very in love. He says... You know, I think I fucking like you.
Yeah,
but I think it's more than that.
Him.
Yeah. but Michelle, Michelle is showing up at like serious family functions. She's at that engagement dinner. She's at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
She's at the reception. I mean, those are serious things, right? So
girlfriend things.
Those are girlfriend relationship things. So yeah, I feel like she must have those feelings back, even though she's drawing those boundaries. Like, hey, I can do both, and, you know, this is what we have, and let's enjoy it and whatever. But she's, like, becoming a part of the family, in my point of view. What are you thinking?
I definitely think that they're both falling for each other and knowing, both of them knowing that it's probably not a good idea, just because, well, I can only speak from Michelle's point of view, but she's definitely been through this before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a hard thing for a man to wrap their mind around, like, her job. So she just doesn't believe that anyone would be okay with it. And the way that Michelle is, she's really... She is who she is. She's really comfortable in her own skin. She's like, don't tell me what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of the fun drama comes out of the struggle of, like, falling for someone, wanting to do still have her life that she's chosen,
mm-hmm.
but sort of getting sucked into this world of the Donovan family and right. enjoying it despite mm-hmm. herself. She enjoys putting on that fancy dress.
Yeah,
of course.
You know,
yeah.
she enjoys showing up for the things.
It's interesting for him to kind of call her out to be like, well, look, I don't want you to be a prostitute anymore, but it's okay for me to be a pimp.
It's a double standard.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's why she says, oh, you enjoy your job?
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. And I like that you give that yeah. point to him.
What I thought was fascinating is the fact that he knew who you were getting into it.
Yeah.
It's not like you guys, when you met at a bar and you went on a date and then all of a sudden he found out what you did and was like, all right, I want you to stop this because I really like you. He's known the entire time. So I found it, I guess this might be an outlandish opinion, whatever you want to call it. I found it a little disrespectful that he would assume that you would give up your career so easily.
It's
That's what you do.
Double standard, for sure. Because it's one thing when it's like, it's fun when someone else is doing it, but when it's my woman, like, forget it, you
mm-hmm.
know? So, I mean, obviously this is extreme here.
Yeah. But,
well, he's not trying to talk any of the other girls out of it, only you. So,
right.
Yeah.
And he's saying he can provide, but I don't believe him, and I don't think
yeah.
his track record shows that, and I think you probably know him well enough to realize that he's not the Prince of Egypt here. Like, he,
right.
you know, he's
right.
he's not going to be able to give you the kind of life that you want or have when you are a working woman. So
yeah.
I thought it was really interesting that he thought so clearly that you would just give it up. You could see in his face that he was confused when you wouldn't. Like, why would... Wait, well, I thought that this would be so simple.
I'm glad that you brought up that line where he's like, you know, I have some things... He sounds exactly like Mickey, who's always like, I've got some things in the works. Like,
right.
no, you don't. You have some ideas.
That's
you have
so true. Mm-hmm. I never thought about that. Yeah.
Well, where else would
That's
he have
true.
Learned it from? Because even you sort of crack on him about money or something, isn't there a line in there?
There's a really good line that you put up on your meme on Instagram.
Oh,
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That line... It was basically he said, I said, I can like you and like making money
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? So basically yeah. she's like, don't bust my balls. Like, she doesn't believe that he can provide for her. She doesn't want that anyways. I think she's addicted to the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
She's addicted to the money. Of course she hates doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, of course. But, you know, it's the money part, I think, that she's really
sure.
addicted to it. So the idea of, like, trusting someone else with that, especially him, like, forget
yeah.
it.
And on top of the money, I would think it's also about being independent and
yeah.
being
mm-hmm.
able to take care
Absolutely.
Of herself and knowing where her next paycheck's going to come from, knowing where her next meal is coming from, and not feeling confident enough in this guy that she's been sleeping with that he's going to stick around. Because what happens? Say they get together, she quits her job, she loses all her clients, they end their relationship, and then she has to start from ground zero. She's probably worked up quite a little bit of clientele there. So I'm not saying that I think that she should necessarily stay, but I think that it is valid that she is so
yeah.
worried about
yeah.
it.
And we know that Daryl doesn't necessarily have the best entrepreneurial mind. He's just doing everything that
yeah.
Mickey tells him to, right?
Yeah.
And he even, a few episodes back, when they were with those startup guys,
mm-hmm.
it looked like Google, but they were with those guys,
yeah.
and they end up, he ends up making that big mistake, ordering more from more cocaine, right? And
yeah.
they just cost him like 50 grand.
That's how they got in with the Manassians, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think,
that was the whole thing that started that storyline.
When I think about him, I always think about the time that he got the crap beat out of him because of Mickey, and he was in a fight that he was way in over his head.
Oh, in season two. Yeah.
yeah, and I think about, like, wow, he just, no matter what, he learns from Mickey. He sounds like Mickey. He trusts Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be the hardest nut to crack, and we see it happen a little bit in tonight's episode when Ray pushes him against the wall and is like, hey, for lack of better words, I'm not fucking around.
Yeah.
Like, give me this information, because what you think who you think you're working for, what you think you're doing is not what's going on.
But
that's why I think that this is a huge thing for him, that he is falling for somebody and that all
yeah.
of these things are taking place. He's kind of like, however old he is, in the mindset of a 12-year-old boy learning all these things for the first time.
Yeah, well, he still wants daddy's attention. But I also like him paying like a fair amount of compliments to Michelle. It kind of like lets me kind of like, oh, he really yeah. is into her, not just the activity that they enjoy.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things Michelle loves about Daryl is mm-hmm. that he's so sweet and he's so earnest and mm-hmm. gullible and just like, she's like, eh, whatever. But like, she can't help herself like loving it because, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, he's just going to be there.
Probably treats you better than a lot of the people do treat you. So
I hope so, yeah.
I'm liking the relationship. I wonder if he'll be able to hold on to you, though. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Are we going to have much more scenes of you and Daryl together, Pooch?
Yeah, there will be more scenes.
All right.
Yeah. Talk about working with him a little bit.
Oh, my God. Dream. Honestly, no, I feel really lucky because I've been on the show since the third episode, mm-hmm. but my part didn't get really expanded till recently. Well, since yesterday, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we hit it off as friends right away. And when I found out that the writers were adding in this storyline, I was really happy that it was Pooch because he's so easy and fun to work with. And he's like little Mr. Sunshine. He comes on set. He's the crew's favorite. He's so sweet. He's just, honestly, is really, I learned a lot from him just mm-hmm. in his energy and his, so it was lovely. It was lovely to work with him.
When you signed on, you didn't know that it was going to expand into what it did, though?
No, I didn't. I got cast for one episode.
Oh.
And the producers and writers responded to me, and I feel really lucky that, you know, they did because I love the show. I'm here because I'm like a fan of the show too, you know.
Right.
But it's been a really, really fun journey. And the fact that there's more to come of Michelle, like, it's gonna be fun. Yeah.
Well, we're excited for that. Do you think that the writers had in mind somebody, one of these girls, to be a storyline for Daryl, but because you had the energy that you did together naturally, that they chose you?
They won't say. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get it out of them.
I would imagine, too, if you have that natural chemistry.
Yeah.
That
because these writers, I feel like, are so talented that there's no way they're just picking things up last minute. I think they've thought about a lot of these storylines pretty far out. So somebody must have been impressive on set. Just saying.
Yeah.
Other than Pooch, who else do you want to work with more on set?
Oh, man. I have a lot of time working with John Voight, and that's been amazing.
Yeah.
He's just, I'm like, sponge, show me, you know. He's like, it's just so in his blood, the craft of acting that
right.
and he's so sweet. He's just, honestly, I was like happily surprised that he is as generous and sweet and open and wants to collaborate and stuff. So anytime I get to be in a scene with him, I'm thrilled.
Sure.
I would love to get a little more time with Liev just because he's like another side of genius.
Right.
And he's really intense and he comes to set like with like a freight train just, you know, ready to go. And it's really fun getting to be around him and work with him.
Awesome.
Yeah, he is like a freight train as Ray. He just stomps around everywhere and he has command presence. It's amazing.
Yeah. My favorite thing that his line he always says is when he's on the phone, he's like, I'm on my way. Like all the time. All the time. It's like always his line, I'm on my way. Like hang up the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a tiny little break here to talk about iTunes. Folks, head over to iTunes and give our Radon of an After Show a rating and review. 5 stars if you really like us. If you don't like us at this point, you should just stop watching. Just kidding. Don't do that. You probably do like us. You're 9 episodes in. What are you kidding yourself? Do that. It really helps out the network. We have over 100 hours of content every week for TV shows. If you like TV, talking about TV, this is the place to do it and really help us out. Let's talk about Abby and Terry. Anna, you still think that her and Terry are having a little love connection there?
I mean, duh, doy. Like, first of all,
I don't think so at all.
First of all,
what's the opposite of duh, doy, though? So she's duh, doy, and you're what?
Don't know what that would be.
Okay, so as we're talking about this, I'm realizing this is a really like relationship bonding forming heavy episode.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, so many levels of inappropriate, and it first started. It first started last episode, but when you know poor Terry's having his Parkinson's getting worse, and he's having mm-hmm. his night terrors, and I think Abby sort of went to comfort him in a very maternal, sort of nurturing way. don't worry about it. You just had too much to drink. It's okay. Like, yeah. You know, I'm just going to, like, hold you like I might a child if I were a good mother.
And I thought that was fine.
And
it was appropriate.
But she also, you know, shooed Ray away, you know, go get sheets. And that was a sad moment for me, for Ray, because it was like Ray didn't know how to take care of his brother for the first time. And go ahead.
No, I didn't get any of that. I got the moment of him watching her, like, hug him and, like, kind of, like, comfort him, which was, to me, was very sweet. I got him just sort of finally getting, like, how much help Terry needs or something like that. It didn't look to me like he was looking on in jealousy or something like that. It seemed more sweet. It seemed more just kind of like, wow, like, she really cares for my brother. That's what I got.
I don't know that I made it clear that it was, like, painful for him that he could not care for Terry in that way, in that moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. I agree with that. And I also think he feels like, wow, I'm glad I'm home. I'm glad I asked Terry to come here. I'm glad that my wife convinced him to stay in that bedroom in our house, because now that Ray is probably thinking, wow, like, I should be here. We're a good team. And I can't do everything to comfort Terry as much as my wife can.
Well, and even Terry, when he got him out of prison, was saying, like, you can't keep holding us up or something to that effect. So it's nice that someone else is doing the thing that all the burden that he normally takes on himself.
I have several opinions on this relationship right now. The first one being that I think Ray has experienced this a couple times before, where his brothers are going through emotional trauma, things that Ray can't fix by bashing somebody's brains in. We saw it happen with Bunchy when he was dealing with the priest, even Ray having to deal with that himself. We've seen it happen a couple times, and every time Ray doesn't really know what to do with himself, because he's used to being the problem solver, and these aren't the type of problems that he is great at solving. I don't think that this moment was necessarily inappropriate, but I do believe that you have to look at this as storytelling right now. So what the editors and the storytellers and the DPs have chose to show us, and the writers, this is what they're showing us. Every time after we see Terry interact with Abby, we cut to Ray, and he's watching them. And so that's supposed to make us know that Ray is seeing this every single step of the way, which is why I believe, unfortunately, something inappropriate is going to happen. Because if it wasn't, I think they would just leave Ray out of it. I don't think we would keep cutting to his face. I think that they would have just had the moment. But we see it not only in that scene, but we also see when they're dancing at the wedding. Every time, and even in last episode, there will be this moment, and you're like, does that make me feel comfortable? Okay, I could justify it in my head. Oh, wait, there's Ray.
Yeah, Ray, there were a couple of shots when they were dancing at the wedding, and the first shot with Ray, and you pointed it out.
Yeah, he almost cracked a smile.
Yeah, he cracked a smile. It looked like, hey, they're having
whatever
a good
was a
time.
A smile to him. It was like,
face barely a little smirk, right?
It looked like a smile enough.
A tug at the corner of his mouth.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyway,
not 3% of the NFL smile, but
no. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then after they're dancing some more, he sits down, and then he kind of looks at him a little bit differently. And I see a lot of smiles coming from over at the couch.
This is so fun and also so much torture for me to see as someone that, like, knows what's coming. Yeah. I love this.
I've been known to overanalyze, so.
No, I love it.
I just got him, especially when they're dancing there, and it's like another sort of, like, normal family moments at a wedding where people are dancing, your brother's dancing with your wife or whatever. To me, he's just soaking in the, like, happy moment for once.
Well, let me ask you guys this question.
Okay.
Why, during the first dance, did Ray dance with Bridget and not Abby?
It's father-daughter.
Been a while since he's seen his daughter.
Yeah, like, she's been off getting high with her teacher.
I would have,
she needs a dance.
If I was in Ray's shoes, I would have danced with my wife first and then danced with my daughter. But who knows what the choice... Can you shed some light on this, Christy?
Might be a case of overanalyzing.
Yeah.
Because I was there that day. I guess... Maybe was there a line cut? I feel like there might have been something else to it, but Terry and Abby were supposed to dance together for sure, and I think that might have been just the actors choosing to do that. I don't think it was written in the script. Maybe it was.
Yeah, no,
I don't know, but I think that it's not as big of a deal as
I didn't find a problem. Maybe it is. I didn't find a problem with that.
I didn't find it a problem necessarily, but I just think that it speaks to the nature of the family dynamic. I think that every time Ray prioritizes the kids over Abby, and Abby resents him for that, and it's easier for Abby to go have an emotional affair like she did last season because she doesn't feel like she's special to Ray.
Yeah, I mean, the moment that she was trying to prove to Ray that he was special and she's trying to be intimate with him, all of a sudden Terry starts screaming, and that was broken up. To me, though, the obvious, other than the fact that we keep shooting to Ray, the obvious thing that they threw in there tonight, which was turn on your, you know, don't be so caught off guard if this does happen, was when she looked at him and said, "You look hot." And they put that in there.
I think she's just being nice to him. I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. That's fine.
I don't get any of that. I did like that moment of them in bed together, which they're finally going to almost reconnect, like, in a, like, intimate way.
And then, Ray was down for it, too.
Yeah, well, and also, not only was
of course Ray was down for it. He's a man.
Yeah, but normally his intimacy with her is, like, really rough. Yeah. It's there is no sweetness to it. Yeah. And the way he turned over to her seemed kind of like they were going to have, like, a very nice little session there, not him just sort of, like, you know, doing what he normally does.
I would be more into it and think that he had changed more if we hadn't just see him sleep with Paige. He just slept with her again.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, we can give him a little bit of credit because he's being sweet and intimate with his wife, but he's still stepping out on her.
Yeah.
And people always forget about that.
I don't forget about it.
Well, maybe you're not people then. I don't know, but I
think I'm a person. What are you saying, Roxy?
I'm just saying that you're very special, that you see that, that you don't forget about it. I think that a lot of people do forget about it all the time because they think that he is a good father or that he is paying attention more and he's growing. Yes, he's growing and he's learning and he's helping out his family, but he's also still cheating on her.
It's still dysfunctional. No one's denying that. I'm going to need a hug after this because Roxy said I wasn't a person.
I think you're the best kind of person.
Oh, thank you so much.
Virtual hug.
Okay, thank you. So him and Bunch have, to me, one of the best scenes in this episode, the moment where Bunch is in holding, I guess, there, and the conversation between them. I've really got the most of their brother dynamic, things that maybe they should have said to each other before, but they're saying now, and Ray really calling into question, like, what have you been doing? And, you know, and also finding out that he's working with Mick, and like, what are you thinking, man? I really like Bunch's response back to him and not backing down. This to me was like maybe one of the best moments in the season.
Absolutely. For the first time, I wrote down, I see both sides.
Yes.
I see both sides of this story. And that's a really interesting place to be as a viewer.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect that.
I noticed in the scene that almost everybody in the family seems to have this weird resentment and reliance on Ray. Mm-hmm. And it puts him in this really
tough position.
Painful position. Yeah. That they, like, hate him for things, you know, like, I'm not in here because of Mickey. I'm not in here because of my choices. I'm in here because you won't give me my money. Like, what a ridiculous, you know,
totally.
And then fix it for me.
Yeah, well, but because then Ray comes back at him and says, like, look, do you care about the money right now? This is your wedding day, man. You're in here because of Mickey. And when you finally get that point through to him, okay, you're the guy who can't get me out of here, so, you know, can you help?
This is your wedding day. You can go to prison for 7 years with good behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares about the money? What are you doing?
I see his point, though, because he wouldn't have been in this predicament if he had had money. He wouldn't have gone to work for Mickey if Ray had given him his money.
Sure.
Ray treats him like a child, and that's fact.
Ray gives him an allowance.
I know. Okay, but like, treat like a child.
Like a child.
Like a child.
Fine, and that's fine. But it's not like he had to go into this business
I just think that the reason that they, and they hit it over our head tonight, which I was really glad they did, was usually your dad will do this. They kept saying that. Yeah. So Ray, he's treating him like a child because to Ray, it is his child.
Ray is super paternalistic. He's the total head guy. He's the patriarch of his family.
He had to be. Mickey was, Mick wasn't there.
Yeah, he was gone for 20 years. And then when Mickey comes back, he's still thinking like he's a 30-year-old guy, mm-hmm. right? Because he's doing all these stupid mistakes like he's out there as a young buck on the streets still, mm-hmm. right? And I just think, I thought it was so bad that everybody was, and you know, he is guaranteed the reason why all this is happening, but it just kind of sucks that everybody is pointing the fingers at Mick and they're making him the scapegoat. I'm saying it sucks yeah. that he's in that position. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that he isn't the reason why this is all happening.
It just crossed my mind that Ray has he's been having such a hard time with his brothers, and he had a hard time accepting Teresa, and I wonder what he's going to feel about this one over here. How he's going to feel about that relation starting up.
Probably can't talk about it.
He's a little skeptical of everybody. I wonder where that goes. I'm on to something. I see the smile. Guys, we're getting there.
She can't say.
Well, you already see how he felt about the situation with the Manassians.
Yeah.
So just imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Would he be as protective of Daryl, his, I guess, half-brother, as he would be of any of his other brothers?
Hmm. That's an interesting point, too.
I think he would. He's still mm-hmm. his brother.
We just met him, though.
Well, yeah.
Like 3 years ago.
I know. Ray doesn't have the same relationship with Daryl, but Bunchy certainly does.
Mm-hmm. They knew for way longer. They knew this was his brother for
That's
way
true.
Longer.
That's true. That's true. That's true. So, yeah. But I think out of concern for them, maybe. But again, you know, Ray brings up when he finally makes a nice speech at the reception.
Yeah, first one sucked. At the second one.
That was very uncomfortable. The engagement dinner. He says, you know, he brings up the childhood memories and how the nurse called Ray Bunchy's little protector. And
yeah, that's a great point.
And he always has been. Mm-hmm. And he always has been for Terry, and he sees himself, or fancies himself anyway, the protector of the family. And mm. And so now he's relinquishing that role to
Teresa.
Yes.
He's giving up some control, finally.
Yeah, well, that moment, the socks moment, Bunchy's with his white socks and his black suit, don't do this much. that moment where she's like, I knew you would forget, and she gives him the socks, because, you know, he's having them sort of like the background check and all that stuff on them. But that moment when she's, you know, she gives him the socks and they have like a sweet moment there, he's finally like, okay, this is real.
Right.
It was nice to see.
I just have to say, I thought the writing in this episode was so fantastic.
Sharp.
And going back to the moment where you said, he says, maybe I got carried away. Sometimes I do. You've always been going to be my kid brother. It doesn't mean I'm always going to be right. Like,
beautiful.
As much as I just butchered that, he delivered it perfectly. And the writing was so on par. Every speech he gave, even mm-hmm. the awkward one earlier, all of his one-liners that had us laughing, I just thought he did an amazing job. Between choosing with his brothers and his dad and him being like, any day of the week, that was brilliant, too.
Yeah.
His lines tonight.
I'm going to follow up where you left off, because he said, it just feels right looking at the two of you and two of you together, because I know you're going to protect each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that, we'll see whether or not that's true. Yeah. But
it will break my heart if Teresa is not who we think she is. That will break my heart, because I am all about her and Bunchy.
Yeah, totally. What did you think about like Ray's interaction with like Bunch and Teresa and all that stuff?
I really, really liked it. I thought that that speech was, especially like Bunchy's reaction to that speech, mm-hmm. was really sweet, because especially after they had that scene, that intense scene mm-hmm. that you were just talking about.
Yeah, I loved it.
And then it kind of tied it together. But yeah, for sure. I definitely think Teresa is awesome. She's a badass, mm-hmm. and she's perfect for Bunchy. It's going to be interesting seeing Bunchy being happy for once.
Yeah,
totally.
And if he even knows how to be completely, maybe there could be some self-sabotage there. Sometimes you finally get what you want. And he's going to get all of his money on top of that.
Yeah, he got his money, too. I like that like joke about, like, oh, we got you some kitchen thing. I don't know.
Standing mixer.
It's a kitchen mixer. What's that? I don't know, Abby Pie. That was like classic Donovan moment there.
Another mature moment with Bunchy, too, was when Teresa came in and she was checking up on him. She did the whole socks thing. She asked him, hey, what? Where were you? What's going on? He played it cool. He looked at Ray. Ray was like, no, man, you're an adult now.
Yeah.
I'm going to look down. And that's where Bunchy was just like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, I'm here. That's all that matters.
I also thought that that's when he learned from Ray that Ray didn't say anything. Ray didn't, for lack of a better, tell on him or whatever it was, which is why I think that he was so team Ray when Mickey comes back in the end. Because he's realizing that Ray really does have his back and he is looking out for him and what's his best interest and trying to listen to him.
This was the second time in two seasons that Ray has gone on a cop's request to go hunt down Mickey somewhere where he's about to flee the country or he has already fled.
Speaking of a cop's request, Cochran's back.
Before we talk about Cochran, there is that moment where he's Ray finally does track down Mickey and they're in the hotel and he gives that, you know, like, Mick's got a gun on him, he doesn't want to go, and instead of like strong arming him, he just says, go ahead and go and do what you always do. That was the wake-up moment for Mick, and I'm so glad that he got it.
And I thought they chose a perfect amount of stuff to show us. Mm-hmm. Because after we see that he accepts, I didn't need to see the entire car ride. I didn't need to see Mick go back and forth in his mind. The next thing I needed to see was what they showed. So I thought that they did a really good job being selective in this episode. Trusting in us that we know that was a very awkward car ride.
Yeah. And Ray is so smart. Ray is so smart putting together the pieces of where he's staying, the blinds closing. I mean, he's a genius.
Your son's in prison. Call me back, you prick. All right.
It is.
That's great.
Really, in hindsight, it was so funny because when I was watching it, I felt like, why is it? It's right there. It's so convenient. And then when he gets to Mickey, we get to learn, like, oh, duh, the reason why Mickey's there just across the street is because
he thinks he can still go to the wedding.
He thinks he can sneak in the back door of the church.
Yeah, Ray calls him on it. What are you going to do, sneak in the back? It was so weird. But
again, they're showing us exactly what it is that we need to see. They showed us the octopus, and we go there. They're so meticulous cool about their shots. There, which is why Honest Theory is totally correct.
I also like him. Well, just when they're in the bathroom and Mick's like pleading for his help, I did feel bad for Mick there at that point. I was like, okay, well, you know, he is in pretty deep, but all of these, all of the situation that you're in is due to your actions. The reason why you don't have a relationship with Bunch or me or Terry, and the reason why no one wants you at the wedding is because of what you've done. And he just kind of lets them stew there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, smart, because it's not Ray's responsibility. Ray's picked up all of his responsibility as an adult to be kind of like the father to his brothers.
As the best man.
Yeah, the best man, all that stuff. And, you know, giving him wedding advice. I don't know about him giving Bunch like marriage advice, because he's not really good to his own wife, but, you know, hey, at least he's doing something. I don't know. Anyway, so Cochran is back. Chief Wiggum, as I know him as.
Can we just talk about the fact that you three screamed when he came on screen? Like,
did you?
Yeah.
That was a good moment.
Yeah.
They were so excited, like yelling.
He's been relegated to working in an office because of his former activities there at the FBI were not looked upon too favorably. And he's giving himself these affirmation speeches.
Clearly in a program now.
Yes, I'm not putting it down.
Okay.
He's just how the mighty have fallen, this a bit.
He's got to be a sex addict. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's inappropriate, like, relations with his former colleague there at the FBI, field office, right, led to this him getting in trouble, Ray recording everything, having it put out on the net, all that stuff.
Well, it's proper motivation. He was properly embarrassed by Ray, so now that he finds out that he's part of this NFL deal, it's like, oh, look who's back.
I liked how Ray's ID was just blown up on the page.
I thought the same thing.
Also in color, yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
Let's talk to you for a minute about what you're doing these days, acting-wise. Anything coming up?
Well, this show.
I'm on for the rest of the season, and just working hard at, I've just started a comedy series called Bird's Court, which is about the the world of the legal side of football. So it's kind of the tone of that is like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia meets Night Court kind of a thing. It's really fun. I just started on that this week.
Where can people find it?
It's not going to be out till probably the end of the year. There actually isn't a date yet, so so I'll let you know.
We'll have to follow you.
Yeah.
So we can remember. Yeah.
It's really funny. It's really funny to play a lawyer.
Nice.
Yeah.
A little different.
A little different. Yeah. I get to keep my clothes on.
I also thought I saw a film with Curtis Jackson, or is that something that was already done? Is maybe coming
Curtis
out.
Curtis Jackson?
Curtis Rampage Jackson. Nope. That's on IMDb. Okay. I can't remember what it's called. Sorry. Well, let's head into some predictions here for next
episode. Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Alright, what do we got?
I'll go ahead and start. So I definitely am running with the Abby and Terry prediction. I think there's no way that's not happening. I'm going to say, now that Bungie has his money, that Treese's people are bad people. I think Treese's people are going to get Bungie's money. Treese is going to have nothing to do with it, but Bungie's still going to be distrustful of her because of the things that Ray has said, and it's going to ruin their relationship, even though Treese is good and Team Bungie. And then I also think something's going to come into play because of the Catholic wedding. I don't know. I just think it's odd, and it was weird and painful for Bungie to have been in a Catholic wedding. So I think that's coming back.
Sure. Interesting. I think that Abby actually doesn't find out about Bridget and the teacher being intimate with one another or kissing. I think that she goes through Bridget's stuff and finds drugs with his name on the prescription bottle, and that's why she gets so mad. She thinks that the teacher's just dealing and pushing drugs to him.
That's a good one.
Which would be, you know, it wouldn't even be the half of it. Mm-hmm. She's probably going to go punch him, and he's going to be like, I'm sorry, it was just one kiss. And she's going to be like, what? So that will be horrifying and also exciting to watch play out.
I feel like Ray's going to use his awesome crack team, Avi and Lena, to go after the Manassians, and they're going to put a stop to the whole operation. Even though the police are going to be there, we're going to have Ray sneak in, like the awesome sly guy he is, using Lena somehow to weasel her way in there, and they're going to take out they're going to take out the Manassians and that Russian guy, and end up making it so that we get to have Mickey live to see another season.
Mm. Yeah.
The only hope.
I'm still saying no on Terry and Abby. Absolutely not. I will still eat my shoe if that happens.
I forgot that that's what you bet.
I know.
It's not going to happen. My shoes are safe. I got big feet, not going to eat a shoe.
I know that you can't give any predictions, but is there anything that you would love to see or want to see or anything you can tease for us?
Yeah.
She's like, what am I allowed to say?
How about you tease us with something?
That's hard.
All right, we don't want to put you in a spot to get you in trouble.
Don't get yourself in trouble. Duel of Legends, by the way, that's the project.
Oh!
Is that already...
Duel of Legends. Yeah. That's a film I shot about 4 years ago. It hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I forgot about it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Sometimes it takes a little bit
of
time.
Some of these indie films, they're just in production forever.
Sometimes when you're on a cable drama for a bunch of episodes, suddenly some movies start coming out.
That happens a lot, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks
really appreciate you coming.
Me.
Loved having you.
I'm really excited to see your reactions for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I'll be tweeting at you all season.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell people where they can find you on the Twitter or Instagram.
At Christy Will Say on Twitter and at Christy Will on Instagram.
Awesome. Roxy Stryer.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
And you guys can find me at Sean Austin O on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Koppel for Mayor.
You can follow me, The Isaac Johnson, on Instagram. Also check out my film discussion show, Cocktail Cinema. This week we took on The Phantom Menace, and it took a lot of drinks to get through that film. Thanks so much for joining us, folks, and we will see you next week.
from executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.